One day I'll remember. Remember everything that happened. The good, the bad. Those who survived, and those that did not.
Home is behind the world ahead, and there are many paths to tread through shadow to the edge of night, until the stars are all alight. Mist and shadow, cloud and shade.
Will you have peace or war?
All shall fade.
I will have war.
Will you follow me? One last time.
Oh, yeah. I know. You want to watch the rest of the movie and want me to sit down. I get it. I don't know how many of you have had the privilege of watching the third movie in the trilogy of The Hobbit. Certainly one of my favorite stories. I have a couple of great favorites. Alice in Wonderland is one of them, and The Hobbit is another. Because The Hobbit is a story that I think captures in extraordinary and beautiful ways the reality of the cultural context in which we live when we collide with the great news of the gospel. See, The Hobbit begins with a character, Bilbo Baggins, who lives in an idyllic world, doesn't he? I mean, he lives in the Shire, the grass is green, everybody's relaxed, everybody's enjoying life, and all the comforts one can imagine is theirs to have whenever they want. And they're completely oblivious to the fact that there is a world out there that is in turmoil and darkness and insanity, fighting for the very essence of good and of light and of freedom. They just live in their little pocket of the Shire. And then the story of The Hobbit begins with a collision of sorts. Bilbo Baggins, in his wonder and his comfort and his convenience, pursuing the quiet life that he wants, collides with a bunch of dwarves and a wizard that invite him into an adventure that's bigger than he could have ever imagined, an adventure that he's not really sure he wants to go on because it sounds like it's got a couple of inconveniences involved, but he is convinced to go. Because it does sound interesting. And so the first movie of the three movies of this trilogy is the invitation into adventure. And you see Bilbo enter in and they tell him up front, listen, this adventure is full of dangers and we can't even guarantee you're going to come home. Now, whenever we hear of something like that, we kind of feel it in our hearts. Yes, I get it. But there's this romance in our heads that says, although it may be full of danger, I know I'm going to return home. You're over-exaggerating. And then Bilbo Baggins finds himself in quite a dangerous space in the first and second movie. In fact, in the second movie, there's a giant dragon that he has to navigate through. But nothing could prepare him for what comes in the third movie. We went and watched the third movie this week. I took three of my four boys with me. One of my boys couldn't go. And when we were done watching the movie, we were in the car driving home, and the boy that missed the movie said to one of my other sons, "So how was the movie?" And this is exactly what he said. And my son says to him, "If you like war, you will like this movie. If you like war, you will like this movie." Because that's what the third movie was. It started with a dragon burning a bunch of people to death and then pretty much had a war zone from then until the end of the movie. And Bilbo Baggins had to live in that war zone. You see, I think this describes so beautifully the reality of the collision that we have with the gospel. Because we live in a space where we've been convinced to pursue our conveniences and our life and the green grass and the wonderful comforts that we want. And then we collide with the gospel, and the gospel invites us into a bigger life than we could have imagined. And it tells us, look, it may be dangerous. It's going to come with a lot of things that you don't expect, but it is going to give you the life you've always longed for, because it is the life of freedom, the life of fulfillment, the life of significance, the life you were created for, that I was created for. It's not just about rescuing our soul for eternity. It's about restoring our purpose for this planet so that we can live for a bigger story than we could have ever imagined. So we step into that adventure, and then we find out, just like Bilbo did, that when you step into the adventure of God and you face the darkness on behalf of God and you become a force for redemption, a carrier of the light, that suddenly you find yourself in a war zone. You find yourself having to lay down the realities you've dreamed of for the sake of the kingdom of God. You find yourself facing great opposition inside and outside of your heart. And you start going, well, this isn't easy. Wow, this is hard. Now, granted, you do find yourself suddenly in a life bigger than you ever thought was possible. And you notice that you're braver than you ever thought you were, but it is still a war zone. We recognize at Mosaic Church that this is the reality of the gospel. We recognize that the gospel invites us into a story like the Hobbit finds himself in, a story full of grand adventure, but a story not without its grave dangers and not without a darkness that fights back. And so every year when the elders of Mosaic Church gather at the last quarter of the year and we start dreaming about the year to come, we start asking ourselves, God, where do you want to lead our church? What is it you want us to do? As we are tasked to shepherd this church, where is it you want us to lead them? One thing always lands on the table as central. We are going to advance into the darkness. We are going to be more redemptive than we were last year. We are going to dare bigger things than we did last year. We are going to lay more down than we did last year. We are going to call people into bigger, more dangerous things than we did last year. That always sits on the table. It does. Because we're like, if we are here to do church, then we are wasting our time. Then we are wasting our time, and we're wasting your time. Because doing church is a joke. We are here to be the church, which means that we gather together in order to scatter with strength and power and freedom and light and life into a world that desperately needs us to carry light to them, because they don't even yet know they need the light. They hate the light, as we once did, and they need us to stand in that gap for them. And so as an elder team, we sit and we go, we are going to advance this year. As we looked ahead into 2015 and we said, let's do this, let's advance, what does that mean? We started asking some big questions, because we have come to realize over the last 2 years, as we have advanced as a church into multiple arenas, excitedly into areas we've been dreaming about for years, especially here in this awesome campus, advancing into the world of Disney and becoming redemptive in that world, we have been excited, but we have also realized it has come with great war zones. As we've advanced into orphan care, that has come with great turmoil. As we've advanced into human trafficking, that has come with great turmoil. As we've advanced into places like Disney, that has come with struggles and laying down of things and expectations that were bigger than we thought. And so we started asking as an elder team, are we ready to advance further into the darkness? If we do, is it going to become so difficult? Are we going to ask so much of the church that eventually we are going to be overcome because we are not ready for that? And so what we began to wrestle with this particular end of the year, preparing for 2015, was this question: are we healthy enough and strong enough to advance further into the darkness? Because if we're not healthy enough and strong enough, the darkness does not leave us with the luxury that it simply attacks from the outside. The darkness also tries to creep into the vulnerable areas of our church as a community of God and tries to undo us from the inside out. And if it manages that, then we will end up falling before we've ever reached the point that we're called to in the battle to really carry the light into the world. And in fact, if we fall before we get there, because we are undone by the darkness inside, then we actually do more detriment to the light than if we had just sat still and done nothing. And so we're like, no, that is not our story. We want to be ready. And so we began to ask ourselves, are we healthy and strong enough to advance, which lent itself to us beginning to ask some big questions as an elder team. What does it mean to be healthy as a church? What does it mean for our people to be ready to advance into the darkness? What does it mean that we as a church are ready? So we began to do some serious work over the last 3 months as an elder team. We began to work on asking the question, as we look at our church with a strong presence at Disney, a strong presence in Oakland, and a strong presence in Winter Garden, and we want to advance into these arenas, what does it mean that we are healthy, and are we indeed healthy in these areas? After praying, seeking the scriptures, discussing for hours, reading articles, watching videos, looking into other healthy churches, reading entire books on research projects of what it means to be healthy church, churches. We had long lists of different items. We boiled them down, and we came up with a very simple list of five things that we felt as an elder team, if these five things were healthy in our church, then we would be a healthy church, and if we're a healthy church, then we can advance into the darkness, as we are called to do and invited to do. And so we were like, okay, we got to do this. We got to jump in and see. Here's what we came up with. We came up with five things. First of all, a healthy church is going to have a gospel-centric worldview and is going to be governed by that worldview. That means a healthy church exists not to become a bigger, better, stronger church with greater notoriety and more comforts. A healthy church understands the reality that the gospel's invitation is not just to rescue us so we can sing kumbaya together, but it is actually to empower us so that we can go out into the darkness and be part of the grand adventure like Bilbo Baggins was, with a sword in our hand glowing as we face the darkness. And we want to live as that truth is in our lives. We want to live with that truth governing us. So a healthy church will be governed by the gospel in the way that it handles every part of the way it spends its money, the way it handles its shepherding, the way it makes its decisions. We're not going to make decisions to keep people happy. We're going to make decisions to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God, and to bring glory to the name of God. And if a church isn't doing that, then frankly, in my opinion, it isn't even the church. And so we said, okay, we've got to look into that. Second of all, every list on every article, in every book, on every video that we found, on every list, one item was always present. As the lists were slightly different, this one was always there. A healthy church has healthy biblical leadership. So listen to me. If a church doesn't have healthy leadership, it is not a healthy church. It doesn't matter if it looks like a healthy church. It cannot be a healthy church if its leadership is not healthy. Which means that if we are going to be a healthy church, we are going to have to make sure that we are pouring into the people in our church in such a way that as they become leaders in the church, they have a deep and strong view of the gospel. They're living that gospel out. They understand the scriptures. They understand what it means to lead in a gospel-centric manner, and they understand what it means to shepherd people well. If we do not train our leaders well up front and prepare them well for leading, then we will have weak leaders, unhealthy leaders, and therefore we will have an unhealthy church. So we cannot be strong unless our leaders are strong. So we must take the time to work diligently in discipling our people into the leadership that they've been called into. And the reality is all of us have been called into following Jesus until we can make disciples, where we are by definition then leading others. So we are constantly aware that we must be moving people diligently, meticulously and carefully forward in Christ in their devotion and mission, so they understand what it means to lead through and by the gospel. Third, healthy churches are equipping the saints to do the work of the gospel. They are not creating disciples of the local church, disciples of Mosaic. They are creating disciples of Jesus Christ. In other words, they are equipping the people in the church who are the church to actually be able to go out there and do the work of the gospel. And what is the work of the gospel? to go out into the world and to step into the darkness and to allow people through our actions and our words to see the reality of the redemption of Jesus Christ, to experience it, to hear it, to understand it, so that they would have the opportunity to respond to it, so that they might move from being explorers to being followers of Jesus. Jesus put it this way: go into the world and make disciples of everyone. We're not trying to gain converts. We are trying to carry light, life, and freedom to those who don't even know they need it yet. And so to do that great work of the gospel, you must be well equipped. You must understand the gospel well. You must be able to live it and articulate it well. You must be governed by it. You must understand the scriptures. You must be inspired by the story of God. You must also understand what it means to engage in human beings' lives in a gentle and yet a firm manner to bring freedom into their stories. You must be responsive and understand with eyes of God to see and hear the things that need to be seen and heard. You must be receptive to the Spirit of God. We must equip you to do the work of the gospel. A healthy church is equipping the saints through the work of the gospel. Fourth, healthy churches have healthy finances that are full of integrity. Sounds like a relatively unspiritual deal. At least when I hear that, I'm like, whatever. I mean, biblical leadership and gospel-centric life and handle your money well. What? But you know what? It was on every list. It was on every list. Why? Because the truth of the matter is Jesus spoke about money a great deal because the way we handle our money is a gospel issue. And there's no faster and easier way for the world to see if we are governed by the gospel than to look at how we handle, spend, take care of our money. That's true for you as an individual, for me as an individual, and that's true for us as a church. Also, if we handle our money well, not only does it display the gospel, but it creates sustainability for the call that we have as a church. And so we realized, man, we better make sure that we continue to be full of integrity and continue to manage our money well as a church. And then the final piece of health that we concluded was that a church that's healthy is reproducing itself. It is reproducing itself not only as a church reproducing churches, but as individual persons that make up the church pouring themselves into other individual persons so that they are reproducing Christ in another person as Christ is being reproduced in them from another person. We call that the discipleship journey. You are being discipled, having Christ reproduced in you from someone who knows Jesus well, and you are discipling, reproducing Christ in someone who does not yet know Jesus as well as you do. This is what makes a healthy church. This is how we want to live. So that elder team, we took all of those areas, and over the last 3 months, we divided the team into groups, and they went out, and they did research for us internally to see how we're doing on all of those areas as a church. And I just want to tell you guys, as a part of Mosaic Church here at Disney, that we were very encouraged to find out that in all of these areas, we are doing well. Some of them extremely well and some relatively well. We're extremely gospel-centric. You probably know that by now because we can't do anything but speak of the gospel and constantly challenge you into life in the gospel. We are doing well with leadership development on all fronts, but we need to press harder into that. We are certainly doing well equipping the saints, but we need to press harder into that. On our money front, we are full of integrity. We spend our money incredibly well. Mosaic gives 20% of all of its money away. That is unheard of in the church world in many ways. Some churches do it, but few. And so we give a lot away, and the rest of the money we spend incredibly well internally. That's true across the board for Mosaic. We've got some work to do in getting our finances healthy in some areas, to have good systems in place for us to have reserves when we need them, but we're handling our money well. And we are reproducing well. We have 3 campuses, and in those 3 campuses, people are discipling people. But we need to press harder into those realities. Why do we need to press harder into those realities? Because the scriptures are abundantly clear that when we go into the world, it is going to be a war zone for us, and we are going to have to be strong and ready to face it. How do I know that? That's not just something I'm making up. That's something that Jesus said. That's something that Paul taught and the other authors of scripture taught as well. Listen to this. When Jesus was hanging out with his disciples on the very last night before he was going to enter into the reality of his death and crucifixion, he was kind of sharing some things with them that they need to be aware of as they take on the baton and walk into the life of discipleship, following him full of the Spirit once he left. And listen to what he says to them in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that the world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you hear that language? We should expect as we enter into the world carrying light that we are not going to be received well every day. Have you ever felt that experience where you go out into the workplace, you jump into your particular area at Disney, and you're all gung-ho about being gospel-centric and sharing the gospel, and then it gets all awkward? And then you're standing like, maybe now's the moment, but what do I say? And if I do I get in trouble? I don't know. I don't understand. Then you say something and someone gets mad at you and goes, not now. What are you doing? You're trying to convert me? I'm not trying to convert anybody, please. Let's go. We got to go do this. Be happy. Have you ever been in that position? Have you ever been in that position where there's a dream right before you and you're about to get it and the person next to you also wants it, and you know if you just make one move that's theirs and they so desperately need it and they don't yet know Jesus, and so you know you could lay it down and they could have it because that will help them and move them forward, but you also want it. You've been waiting your whole life for it and you're in that moment of struggle. Do I take it? Do I leave it? I don't know. Have you ever been there? See, when we enter into being gospel-centric and living redemptively, man, it's a war zone out there. It's not easy, and the world comes at us fast. Listen to this. Now, when Paul was writing in Ephesians, this is what he said in Ephesians. Listen to the readiness that he calls us into. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you hear that war zone type of stuff? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not war against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present age, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Listen to this. Paul is writing to Timothy, his second letter. Timothy was his protege, the guy he was discipling. This is what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also the process of discipleship. Share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. You see, this is the reality of our life. That we are called into the war zone of planet Earth on mission for the kingdom of God. So as the elder team of Mosaic Church, those tasked to shepherd Mosaic, to shepherd you, including Brady, your awesome pastor, as we gathered together to wrestle through where we're going in 2015, we landed in this place. We need to press harder into health. We need to work harder at health. We need to become stronger because we are advancing and we are going to continue to advance into the darkness. And so we better continue to work at health. We better press in to working diligently at becoming healthy. So what does that translate into for you guys here representing Mosaic Church in the Disney context? What does that call you into? What is your part in that? Well, your part in that is to do the same thing we as a whole church have decided we're going to do this year. Your part is to ask yourselves, what does it look like for us to press harder into becoming healthier and stronger? to be uncompromising in that journey, to say, if it takes more time and it takes more energy and it takes more of my space to dig into this journey of health, then that's what I've got to do, because my call and my task and my invitation by the gospel of Jesus Christ is into a life bigger than I could have imagined, so that I would live redemptively, but it is a life that is a war zone. And to be ready for that war zone, I need to be ready. And so we start stepping back and saying, okay, in 2015, what would it mean for us to begin to press into health and to press into mission further than ever before? So as a elder team, we began to try to put together the primary thoughts for 2015. And for this incredible campus, here's what we dream for you in 2015. Here's what Brady dreams for you in 2015. Here's what I dream for you in 2015 as we walk into that year. Number one, that missional stories would define us more than they ever have. Do you hear that? That missional stories would define us more than they ever have. I do not want this campus defined by how awesome the gathering is here, by how large it's becoming, by how cool the worship and teaching is, or by how wonderful the community is. Do I want those things to be strong? Yes. Do I want those things to be awesome? Yes. Do I want us to be defined by those things? No. I want us to be defined by the incredible missional stories that are born out of your decision and my decision to step out into the world we've been called into and to live redemptively. I want people in the Disney context not to think of this church as a whole, but to think of you and you and you and you and the story you were to them because you stepped out. I want us to go into that world of Disney and to love them bigger and better than we ever have. I want them just to go, who are these people? More than they've ever done before. 2015, I pray that we will have twice the stories we had last year. Twice the missional stories. No, four times the missional stories that we did last year. Two, it is my prayer that our reputation as a church grows and deepens in the world of Disney in 2015. That as the missional stories increase because we love bigger and we love more than we've ever loved and we dare more than we've ever dared in loving people, and as they come into this gathering space and into the other spaces we have in social and communal get-togethers, that they would go, the community is phenomenal, their love is incredible, and the stories of mission are unending in this place. That they would think of Mosaic Church, and no matter their context, no matter where they're at, that they would go, that place is awesome. I don't know that I agree with them. I don't believe what they believe, but they are awesome. Mosaic Church, I'll have you know, in Orlando, has an incredible reputation. It just does. It has an incredible reputation in the system of education. It has an incredible reputation in the political circles. There's an incredible reputation among other churches. There's an incredible reputation among nonprofits. It has an incredible reputation, honestly, just among people in Orlando that are involved in anything. I've bumped into so many people that I'll bump into in any of those arenas, and they'll say, oh my gosh, you're part of Mosaic Church. I've heard about that church. It's awesome. I've heard such great things. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because we are defined by our missional stories. And because our reputation is a reputation that we give ourselves away for the sake of others. May that continue to grow in 2015 in this Disney campus. I pray that we get stronger, stronger than we've ever been. There's number three. 2015, what do we want for you? We want you to get stronger than you've ever been. You guys are still a young campus. And there's so much potential for such great depth and strength here that has already been realized, and yet so much more to be realized. It is our prayer that the equipping of the saints would become an obsession for you guys. That you would become obsessed with the reality of discipleship, that you would look at your own life standing in the mirror and go, I need to get stronger. I need to get stronger. I need to find someone who's willing to pour into me so that I would be stronger. And whatever it takes, whatever shifts I need to make, whatever schedule changes I need to do, I'm doing it. I'm doing it because in 2015, I'm not going to get to the end of this year and be in the same place on my spiritual journey as I am today. I am going to dig deeper into the Word of God and deeper into relationship with Christ and deeper into the spiritual disciplines and deeper into the gospel than I've ever dug. And I can't do it alone. So I'm going to ask somebody here to help me. It is my prayer for you, Brady's heart for you, that you guys would get stronger by taking seriously the journey of discipleship. That you would step into it deeply, unapologetically, and you would make it a priority in your life. It will easily become a non-priority. Why? Because the enemy has zero desire for you to be discipled. Zero. In fact, he has a very strong desire to see that undone. Why? Because if you are weak, then he is strong. And if you are weak, then he will overcome when you're in the war zone. But if you are strong and brave, as you have every reason to be, because you have Christ in you, full of the Spirit, then there is nothing you and I cannot overcome. Jesus said it. His church, that's us, will overcome the gates of hell when we advance in his name. But we must get stronger. And then number four is very simple. 2015, what do we want for you guys? What do we want? Here it is, right? We want missional stories to define you. We want your reputation to grow in the world of Disney. We want you to get stronger through the obsession of discipleship. And we want you to dare bigger. We want you to dare more. We want you to dare bigger and dare more. If you are getting stronger, then dare to step out more than you ever have. Dare to step into mission more than you ever have. Dare to risk your positions, risk your dreams, risk your desires, risk your comforts for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, for the expansion of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, for the redemptive privilege you have to carry the light and life and freedom of Jesus Christ for the sake of the souls of those to whom you and I have been called. Let us dare more. Let us give ourselves in discipling others, even though we don't have the time for it. Let us dare to pour ourselves out for others, even though it might cost us everything. This is what we dream for you. Because if you're going to grow in health and strength and you're going to dare more, then there will be more missional stories and our reputation will deepen, period. So that's what we want for you. It's kind of like any Disney movie, isn't it? Have you watched the Disney movies? I'm sure you have. They always start beautifully with a song and a dance and a princess and some other stuff. And then there's a villain. And then the villain comes and we all see him. And then at some point in the movie, toward the end, it gets really hard. There's a big fight. It's a huge battle. And it's just war and blood and guts and, okay, maybe not in Disney movies. It's swords and sparkles and pixie dust. But it's still pretty violent for a Disney movie. And then at the end of the great war and the great battle, the villain dies and all is well in the world. Guys, that's our story. You think we just go take the castle easy? You think darkness is going to lay down before us and give it to us? No, the villain will rise up and the villain will come and the villain will fight. And we must be ready to recognize that it's going to get hard for us before it gets redemptive for others. It's going to get hard for us before it gets redemptive for others. Jesus set the pace on that, didn't he? Long before he was resurrected to redeem our souls, he was crucified to pay our sins. And we will have to walk into war zones and find ourselves dying to self for the sake of others long before we see their stories redeemed. But like any great Disney movie, it always ends with a dead villain and a redeemed story. And that's also our promise from God, that as we walk into the war zone, it will always end with a dead villain and a redeemed story. It's just going to come hard. So what's your part in it as an individual who belongs to this awesome campus, this piece of Mosaic Church? Here it is. If you're already involved, if you're already serving here in this community, you're already giving of yourself, giving of your resources, giving of your time, giving of your energy. You're already out there in the world in which you have been given privilege to have influence in the worlds of your workplaces and relationships and circles of influence. You're living missionally. You're daring some big things. You're stepping out. You've already started laying down your dreams for the sake of others. Then your part in the story is stay the course. Stay the course. Stick with us on this because 2015 gets more exciting than 2014. The stories get bigger and better and you get to be part of them. Don't bail now. Don't allow the enemy to convince you to put cruise control on. Don't slow down. In fact, press in harder. Press in harder. And if you're here and you've been participating in this community by showing up, that's awesome. We're super excited that you're doing that. But there's so much more. Your invitation is to get engaged, to step in, start serving somewhere, start asking for someone to pour into you, start daring to give yourself to this community in a bigger way than you have, and start saying, I don't want to be an observer of what God is doing here. I want to be a participant in what God is doing here. And then as you have biblical community start pouring into you in discipleship, dare bigger out there. Talk to those who are already daring and ask them, what was it like the first time you laid down your life for someone else? They will tell you, and then you will dare. Folks, this is not a story where we get to sit back and observe. This, like The Hobbit, is a story that you're invited into, and then you find yourself with a sword in hand and a battle before you. But I promise you this, if you dare to travel on this adventure, you will wake up one day and realize that you are far bigger than you thought you were, far braver and far stronger, not because you're awesome, but because Christ in you is far bigger, far stronger, and far braver than you could have ever imagined. And you will never look back with regret, just like Bilbo Baggins never looked back and said, I wish I'd stayed in the Shire. In fact, he went back to the Shire and looked around and thought to himself, oh, how little these people know of real life, real freedom, real light, real adventure. May that be our story in 2015 and beyond. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you.